everybody. Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm here with Stuart Rothberg.
Betsy, good morning.
Back. Good morning. So glad you're here.
Thanks so much.
And y'all, you know you're in for a treat when the table's full of things.
We have some object lessons today.
Love an object lesson.
Yes, yes,
so
indeed.
So good.
Yeah.
Super appreciate you coming back again.
Thanks for the invitation.
It's always, one, you are well-loved in general, and then people very much appreciate when you come and share.
Thank you, Betsy.
What the Lord has taught you over the years.
So, you are an encourager.
Hey, I try. It's a good thing, right? Encouraging
Wonderful.
People. Encouraging.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to spend a lot of time introducing you, because we're going to go with, if you don't know Stuart, go back and watch some other table talks where we've gotten to know Stuart. But you are a pastor here with us at Sagemont.
Yes,
I've been
indeed.
At Sagemont for a long time.
Yes.
Have beautiful family, sweet wife.
7 grandkids. We got a new one about 3 months ago.
I was going to say, okay, you got to add that one in.
We're going to keep him.
Oh.
Evan, his name is.
You have really cute grandkids.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You are so right.
You have a very sweet family. But we are doing right now on Table Talk a series leading up to Easter. And so last week, hopefully you got to watch Wes and I talk about Palm Sunday and the significance of that and what it means kind of to have that humble servant's heart. And then today we're going to talk with Stuart about Passover.
Yes.
And then next week, Jonathan will be here with us talking about Good Friday, Jonathan Morrison. And then the week after Easter, Pastor Levi is going to come and we're going to talk about, okay, so what does Easter do? How should I act? What's the action steps? What's the next steps because of Easter every single year? Why do we keep coming back to it? Why is it important? How should it move me? And so we get to hear from 4 of our great pastors here at Sagemont during the Easter season.
Great series. This is your idea.
It's gonna be fun.
To get us ready for Resurrection Sunday.
Yes.
Fantastic.
We don't want to just blow past it. We want to be purposeful and really take time. And so I asked Stuart to come and talk about Passover.
Yes.
1, because you're very knowledgeable about it. 2, you're Jewish.
Yes.
And you are a great teacher. And it's one of those, y'all, I really told him before we started, I said, I'm going to come into it like I don't know anything about Passover, because I think it's sometimes one of those things we hear.
Yeah.
And we don't know all the things about it. But then also, if we've been in the church for a really long time, we feel bad not knowing all the things, so we don't ask. So I'm going to ask all the questions. So if you have questions about Passover, this is going to be a great episode for you. The first thing I'm going to ask you about Passover is, was Passover a thing before Holy Week?
Great question.
Okay, good. I started off good.
So let me return the favor and, in typical Jewish style, answer a question with a question.
Okay.
So this year, Easter is on what date?
April 20th.
April 20th.
Sunday, April 20th.
And do you know what date Passover begins on this year?
Actually, way earlier than I thought it did.
Well, sort of. April 12th.
Right.
So about a week before.
So it's not the Thursday before.
Correct.
Okay.
Which leads
this is
to
what
this
made
question.
Me ask these questions.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Betsy.
Yeah.
Why is it that Passover and Easter sometimes are actually several weeks apart? In certain years, they coincide.
Okay.
And you would think that ought to be the case always.
Sure.
In other cases, they're separated by sometimes whole weeks. Why?
This is why I invited you on, Stuart.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you mentioned Holy Week.
Yes.
And so we have something called Maundy Thursday. People refer to it that way. And that was the day of the Last Supper,
right.
The Passover. Good Friday, good for us, not so good for the Lord.
Absolutely.
Day of the Crucifixion. Mm-hmm. And 3 days later, Sunday, Resurrection. All of these key events, which we're about to celebrate and acknowledge, took place in 1 week. You referred to it rightly as Holy Week. And they all took place in Jerusalem.
Right.
In fact, Jesus went there for sure, because Torah, that's the part of the Old Testament, commanded that Jewish males over a certain age make pilgrimage to Jerusalem 3 times a year. One of those times was Passover. So observing the law, he observed it and then also fulfilled it for us.
Okay.
He went to Jerusalem. It's during Holy Week. It's during the Passover. And for centuries, the celebration of his resurrection done by his followers took place during Holy Week, mm-hmm. a few days after Good Friday, as it should. What happened? Well, in the fourth century, leaders of the church met. In fact, they did this in 325 AD at something called the Council of Nicaea. They got together, it was a meeting of big shots, and they made a lot of decisions which affect us today, one of which was this. They said, you know something? Easter or Resurrection Sunday is too closely associated with Jewish people and Jewish thinking. Jerusalem and Passover and all the rest. We have got to effect a separation between the two observances, Passover and Easter, because the faith is too Jewish looking. Now, it sounds like I'm making this up.
So who was it that was deciding this?
These were the leaders of the church in that day. In fact, have you heard of a guy named Constantine?
Yes.
So he was emperor of Rome, and he had a vision, it is said. He saw a cross in the sky and decided to mandate that the religion of the empire was Christianity. Now, that may sound like a good thing, but it's never a good thing when the government crosses the line.
Yeah.
Separation of church and state, you know, this kind of deal. So it was mandated that everybody sort of be a Christian, and a lot of people therefore professed to know Christ mm-hmm. who didn't in fact mm-hmm. know Christ. And he decided these Jews are trouble. They're people of darkness. That's how he referred to them. So he really, really elevated the decision of the Council of Nicaea, thus separating Easter from Passover. So today they look like two entirely separate observances, but they're not. They took place in the same week.
Right.
So Passover always takes place on the 14th of Nisan. Sounds like the car.
Yes.
But that's a Jewish month. It corresponds roughly to our March or April.
Okay.
But it's always the same day according to the Jewish lunar calendar.
Okay.
14th of Nisan. So we Jews don't have to guess, when is Easter going to come out this year?
Right.
We know Passover is always the 14th of Nisan. What happened with Easter? Well, at the Council of Nicaea, they came up with a clever way to distinguish Easter from its Jewish atmosphere.
Right.
And so they said, after something with the moon, the vernal equinox, they called it. The first Sunday after the month after the vernal equinox, who knows what?
Yeah.
I'm going to name, if I was going to have another child, vernal.
Thank goodness, no more children for Stuart.
So they came up with this crazy thing. But because that doesn't correspond to the Hebrew calendar, which designates Passover of 14th of Nisan, therefore Easter could take place at any other time. It could coincide with Passover, rarely does, or it could be, as in this case, a week apart. So that's just an example of what's called the Hellenization of the Christian faith, from a word meaning Greek.
Mm-hmm.
It was just thought by early church leaders, and even in the Middle Ages, our faith is too Jewish. We got to Hellenize it. We got to rid it of its Jewish trappings. That's why Jewish people today have such a hard time acknowledging Jesus as their Messiah.
Wow.
Because everything about him looks like it's a non-Jewish thing, including Easter. They have no idea it took place during the same time as Passover.
All goes together.
Yeah.
Wow. So Passover was why people were going to Jerusalem.
Yes.
When Jesus, Wes and I talked last week on Palm Sunday, that's when Jesus was entering Jerusalem and he was going there for Passover.
Correct.
Okay.
He went for Passover and it was a time called the Last Supper, which we know about today. It's depicted in very famous paintings, absolutely inaccurately. Nobody sat at a big, long table.
But it's so fancy.
It's fancy. It's beautiful. But they reclined the table. And they had this Passover. And it was done in commemoration of of liberation from bondage in Egypt for 430 years. And Easter commemorates liberation, doesn't it, of a different kind. Yes. The ancient Israelites were set free from Egyptian bondage. Passover represents that. And Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, represents our freedom from the constraints of the law and sin and death because of a risen Savior. Amen. So there's a common theme between both observances. Yeah. So the Lord is there. It's the Last Supper, and he was distributing certain elements mentioned in Exodus chapter 12, three elements. One was lamb, another was bitter herbs, and the third was matzah. This is matzah. And he distributed these elements, and then over the years, many additional elements were added. They're not mentioned in Exodus 12, only the three I mentioned.
Okay.
So where did the rest of this stuff come from? Just a theory here. Don't shoot me if you don't agree. I think over the centuries, Jews who came to know Jesus continued to observe the Passover, but added ingredients in it to depict the entirety of the gospel message. So, for instance, some of the, well, I'll show you this matzah, this element. It's unleavened bread.
Right.
Because it is thought when the Jews were told, you know, to leave Egypt, God said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." He was kind of resistant, to put it mildly, until the last plague, death of the firstborn. Then he decided, "All right, you Jews, get out of here, go worship your God." And so it is said they had to leave in such haste that the dough of their bread was on their shoulders, but it hadn't risen yet. And so we eat this unleavened bread to commemorate that. Also, leaven in the Bible is a symbol of sin.
Okay.
Just as sin puffs us up, so does leaven in a mixture. So during Passover, which lasts a week, we don't eat anything containing any leaven in it. So the house undergoes a pretty thorough kind of a spring cleaning for several weeks before Passover. And all cakes and cookies and things that have leaven are given away as a statement of the fact, oh God, we know we've sinned.
Right.
We wish we could be free of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens. But let me tell you something about this, this matzah. It's kind of interesting. Before the Passover celebration could end, and it could last several hours when it's done, this matzah is broken in two like this. Part of it is eaten along with horseradish and slices of onion. It's to make us cry.
Ooh.
You shed tears to remind us of the terrible life experience of our ancestors in Egypt. So we eat part of the matzah, and then the other part we kind of hide in a little pouch, maybe something like this, and we hide it from view, and we tell all the little kids not to look, because before the Passover is over, the head of the Passover in my household, it would be me, I hide it somewhere. And then the kids are invited to go look for the afikoman. Whoever finds it gets some sort of reward.
Wow.
It could be monetary or it could be a piece of candy. And I think this piece of matzah, this afikoman, is a representation of Jesus. It's unleavened as he is without sin.
Mm-hmm.
It is striped, as Isaiah says, with his stripes we are healed.
Right.
It is pierced through, as Isaiah says, he was pierced through for our transgressions. Mm-hmm. When it is found by this very fortunate child, whose good fortune is not nearly as good as ours, when we discover the crucified, risen Savior, the young child gets a reward, and then the head of the Passover will break this matzah into small pieces, kind of like this, olive-sized pieces, and along with the fruit of the vine, grape juice or another variety in some households, it's taken together. The wine and the afikoman. When this was distributed, we're told in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus said, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. And he told them to take that along with this, a symbol of his sinlessness and broken body. Betsy, that's the root of our communion service. I had no idea until I became a believer. Mm. I thought it was a Gentile thing. Sorry, Charlie.
That's so amazing.
It was inaugurated at the Passover.
Wow.
Want to see something else interesting?
Of course, please.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Yes.
So look at this. It is a pouch. We call it a matzah tash. And it's one, but inside it has three layers or three compartments. Hmm. Let me see if I can hold it better this way.
You can see all of them.
You can see these three compartments. Mm-hmm. In which will go three pieces of this matzah.
Okay.
At a certain point in the Passover, the head of the Passover will put his hand into this and extract only the middle layer of matzah. Only the middle layer of matzah.
Okay.
And that is what will be broken. Part of it will be hidden from view and so on.
Okay.
Now here's the question. Why three layers of matzah? Why is this a three in one?
Well, I go to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Boom.
Yeah.
So this may not surprise you, but our rabbis don't go there.
This is why I said it with a question mark at the end. I was like, that's what I go to.
And I do as well.
Yeah.
But here's what they do to explain this. They say it represents the three patriarchs of old, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a nice theory.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the case, why is it that only the middle piece of matzah is removed, broken, buried, and then
brought back?
That would be Isaac. What would be the point of that?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense. Other rabbis say, no, it has to do with the three divisions amongst the people in the worship community, the priests, the Levites, and then the ordinary people.
Okay.
Same question. If that's the case, why is it that only the middle piece of matzah is broken, buried, hidden from view, and then brought back?
Right.
I think the best explanation is in the design of the garment itself.
Yeah.
It's, as you observed, a three in one.
Yeah.
And I think it's an ancient representation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit added by Jewish believers in early centuries who were thrown out of the synagogue because of their belief, but who retained both their Jewishness and their faith in Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. And so to enhance the meaning of the Passover, I think they added that. Now, why is it then that only the middle piece of matzah is broken, buried, and then brought back? Because only God the Son was crucified. He was buried, hidden from view. He rose up from death. In a little while, we're going to celebrate that as a congregation. And the one who recognizes him gets an eternal reward. That's the significance of that.
That's cool.
So it's like Jewish people are celebrating this for 3,500 years.
Wow.
And we don't have eyes to see the presence of our own Messiah in the observance. We're blind.
Wow. So this was added, of course.
That was added.
Added. Okay, then I have to ask you, why is there an egg?
Okay, so here's an egg. It is not an Easter egg.
Yes, which is so interesting because even you can see how traditional things that we do for Easter, hiding of an Easter egg, you find the egg, you get a little prize. Like you can see how things from this have kind of, we've morphed and changed them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this is, sometimes it's roasted to give it a brown color. And its name is Chagiga.
Okay.
And I'll tell you the significance of that. That was the name given to the daily temple sacrifice in Jerusalem thousands of years ago when a temple stood there. So the Jewish people who sinned, that's everybody, were invited to bring various sacrifices to the temple. We read about this in Scripture. And one of the daily sacrifices was for sin was called Chagiga. And then there's this other element on the, we call this a Seder plate.
I was going to say, I wish y'all could see this better, but it's absolutely beautiful.
It has compartments
and says
in it.
Different little and words it, and things.
Yes. Yeah, in each compartment goes up an element of food, each of which tells a little bit about the story of redemption.
Okay.
So the egg would be in there, and this bone, which is called Zeruah, and it represents unblemished lambs, which were offered in sacrifice also for sin when there was a temple standing in Jerusalem. Now, the presence of these two at our Passover today raised this question. Without a temple and a sacrificial system and a priesthood, how are the sins of Jewish people atoned for today? Well, they will answer.
I was going to say, what's their answer? I know I'm going to squish this back because the huge tray hit down. I was like, I know what I would say.
What would you say?
Because of Jesus dying
yes.
on the cross.
And
praise the Lord.
I wish my people would say
yeah.
that. Instead, they say, we don't worry about it. We try to be good people and do the best we
wow.
can.
Okay.
Good works.
Okay. Wow.
So that's not the answer. Here is the answer. There was a Jewish man named Yochanan or John. Excuse me. And in John 1:29, here's what he said. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's the answer for how Jewish sins, Gentile sins, anybody's sins are atoned for today. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin
and
of the
I
world.
And I think it's so good because sometimes we hear Jesus called the Lamb. And we don't know the significance
yeah.
of what that means now, of course. But even then,
yeah.
when John was saying it, the people in the crowd that heard that,
it meant,
the lambs I bring to sacrifice. You're telling
Correct.
Me this is
Correct.
Who Jesus is? Like, it was a deal for them.
He was, and he's the ultimate Passover lamb.
Yeah.
Isn't it something? He's providing the Passover, Last Supper, for his intimate followers. And in just a few hours when it concluded, he would be the ultimate
That's right.
Passover
mm-hmm.
lamb to suffer and die.
He does it. Okay, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
You are a follower of Jesus.
Yes.
You are Jewish.
I am.
You and your family do this every year.
We do.
Why?
Well, for a few reasons. You know, I mentioned the grandkids, but even when our boys were young, what a teaching opportunity. That's mm-hmm. the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kids respond, adults do as well, but especially kids, to actual objects.
Absolutely.
So we could, using these objects, tell the whole story of redemption from God's mm-hmm. point of view. And the second reason is that I wanted to give them a sense of their own Jewishness.
Yeah.
I didn't want them to forget.
I love that.
But this Passover, you don't have to be Jewish to observe
Right.
this.
I was going
to
say, I know there's different places in the Houston area where you can register or sign up and
Correct.
Go participate.
Correct.
Is it a Seder meal? Is
yes.
that what it's called?
It's Seder, and
okay.
that means order of service.
Okay.
And in fact, we use something, a booklet called a Haggadah. It means the telling. It's the telling of the story. This one was written by friends of mine who are Jewish believers.
Oh,
so we can see Jesus the Messiah in
That's
its
awesome.
Pages.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody can find one of these online, any Christian family, and actually do this at home.
Like it tells you like you, mm-hmm. what you need, or you can figure out what do mm-hmm. you need and put together and read through it.
Yes. Or
oh,
you
that's
can,
cool.
You can Google it. How do
I'm
I
sure.
have a home Passover Seder? You do not have to be Jewish to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus... If you know Jesus as the Passover lamb,
yeah.
well, this is for you as
yeah.
much as for anybody.
That is so neat. And so you said this year, Passover is April 12th. Is
yes.
that what you said?
It begins
okay.
the 12th.
Okay. Now explain this, because this is me also asking all the questions. It begins.
Yes.
So when does it end? Or what happens
in the
between part?
Evening of the 19th.
Okay.
So the
okay.
Jewish Day of Reckoning is sundown on the on the day. So okay. It begins sundown, ends sundown a week later.
A week, okay.
And what happens during that time, there will be, this is mostly a home observance rather than a synagogue observance.
Okay.
This is family time.
Right.
And Scripture actually says this, you shall tell this to your children, that kind of deal. So this is the responsibility of parents to educate their kids. There may be a synagogue get-together, but this is primarily done at home. And then during the week, observant Jews, people who observe their traditions, not all Jews do, will eat unleavened matzah for the entirety of the week.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's what they'll do.
This is so beautiful. And okay, is this the bitter herbs you were talking about?
So
or is
it
this
isn't.
Something else? Okay,
that
tell me what that is.
That is a representation of parsley.
Okay.
Because what we do is, it's a sign of life, the blessing of life. But before we eat it, we immerse it in a dish filled with salt water, because the salt water represent the tears of life. It's a way of saying, though life is a great blessing, it's quite a bitter experience if you're a slave. And then we have another mixture, which is chopped apples and raisins and things like that, really sweet, in contrast to these bitter things, because it says even life characterized by slavery is sweetened with the promise of redemption.
That's amazing.
That's the point of
that. Wow. Okay, now this is just a question coming from a mom. What if your kid's a super picky eater and doesn't want to eat onions and herbs?
We make them do it anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a form of child abuse. No, we don't do that. We say, just try a little bit.
Just try a little, just because it's for a thing.
So my grandson last year, Sam, he was dispersing the horseradish.
Yeah.
And he just heaped it on because he has a high threshold for it.
Okay.
And everyone was choking and tearing up, which is actually the intent.
Right, what's supposed to happen.
But for like young children who can't handle it, we just...
I'm like, just the smell. No. Listen, I'm an adult, and the smell of horseradish will get me going.
Well, then you're not invited to my house.
I could do it, Stuart.
we're flexible about it. It's just the idea.
I love it. But it is because it's such interesting...
Yeah.
Things, you know, parsley and salt water and, you know, it is different kinds of things. So, okay, there's a feather and a spoon. Do we need to talk about those?
Well, I'll just briefly tell you.
Or did you just decorate our table?
No, it actually has meaning.
Purpose, yes.
So, to cleanse the house of leaven, the head of the household has put breadcrumbs around the house. The kids have to help him find them. When they do, he's not allowed to touch it because we want to be free of sin, not make contact with it. So he carefully sweeps the breadcrumb with this feather onto this spoon, wraps it in a cloth napkin, and then if there's a synagogue in the area, he will gather there with the other men of the community and they'll throw it in a big bonfire.
Wow.
Then he will come home and he will take credit for cleaning his house.
Cleaning out
the... Though the woman of the house is actually the one who for several weeks has been cleaning
it. Yeah, and getting it done.
Yeah.
That, you know, one thing I love about this, I mean, there's so many things, but you think about, like in your family, you've got generations of they're seeing you as their grandfather.
Yeah.
You're getting this interaction with them. You're getting time to spend with them. And I think just that alone is amazing to get to do.
And that's one of the reasons why God gave these holidays to be very deliberate about this kind of family time. You talked about the generations. This Seder plate, which we showed, this belonged to my grandmother.
Yeah.
So this has been... this. Holiday's been observed. This may be the oldest continuously celebrated holiday known to humankind. Yeah. 3,500 years old.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? And y'all, it's one of those where if you are new, if you're a new believer, if you're new to the Christian faith, don't look at this and go, ugh, I don't have any traditions. I didn't grow up with my family taking me to church on Easter or celebrating Holy Week. It's never too late.
No.
You can be the one that starts it for your generations and your family to come. And yes, there's all these things you can look into Passover, but also there's so many other neat traditional special things you can do around Easter and the resurrection.
Yes.
And Good Friday. I mean, listen, if nothing else, come to Sagemont for Good Friday service.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Add that into your weekend. It will change your purpose and view of Easter, starting it where it really began.
Absolutely. We started to do Good Friday service just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It's come to be one of the most appreciated services.
Yeah.
It doesn't last very long. Mm-hmm. We have the Lord's Supper mm-hmm. together, which now we know was inaugurated at the
yes.
Last Supper, which was a Passover. We sing a little bit, we read scripture, and then people go on their
yeah.
way and get ready for Resurrection
right.
Sunday.
It really, you know, we, and Wes and I talked about this a little bit too, we very much jump to Easter.
Yes.
Which, amen, we'd love to celebrate it, but man, we don't want to diminish the fact of what Jesus did for us, because without Good Friday, there is no Easter.
There is no Easter. That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Celebrating that.
Yes,
thank
yes.
you so much for always coming
Betsy,
and being willing to share.
You're the one I should thank.
No, this is, and y'all, it's so good for us to continue to learn, right? Listen, Stuart, usually if I'm in a room of people and I'm talking about sanctification process and learning more, and I usually will go, Stuart, are you done learning? I ask you that because I'm usually like, he's the one in the room that people are like, oh, he knows everything, you know? And I'm like, Stuart, are you ever done learning?
You know, we call ourselves disciples of the Lord Jesus, and the word means learner.
Learner.
When you stop learning.
When do we stop, y'all? There's always, with the Lord, there's so much more we can learn and grow with him.
And we'll have eternity. Think about it.
Yes.
To
which
learn
is,
more and more.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
It's super fun to think about. So,
because he's alive.
That's right. Which we get to celebrate. So if you missed Wes, go back and listen for that one for Palm Sunday. And then next week, we'll be talking about Good Friday with Jonathan.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, Stuart.
Thanks, Betsy.
We appreciate you greatly.
God bless you.
Blessings to you, my friend, and all of you as well. And we will see you next time on Table Talk.